in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos? You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
I don't know how that little sucker got by. I have a big pile of leaves, so...
Now, should you move that, or should, like, Javier do that for you?
Well, if you have a man, you know what I'm saying? If you have your man...
You have a guy.
If you have a guy, that's up to you. You can get a little exercise yourself, but if you have a guy, have a man, then we'll do that kind of stuff. There's nothing wrong with that either.
Very good.
When you're a 60-some-year-old dude, but you have a man, then we'll do that.
A man.
If
I can say this right.
Yes.
A man that you pay.
I pay the man.
So be your friend.
He's my friend.
Yes.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9, AM 1260, and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new
Get them up! Get them out on a Monday. B&E on the Horn, show of the people. Ready for a big-time week. The dog days of summer are here. It's going to be blazing hot in Austin, Texas again today, 100 degrees. Hope you had a great, great weekend. Ours started with the 17th annual Mullet Open. We'll get a full recap of that from the Buck coming up. But your work week is underway here on B&E with the early bird. Always gets the worm. Glad you're up early with us at 447-3776. Also on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776 on 10 July, Mr. Godbolt.
Yes, good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you for the great job you do. It is appreciated. Thank you very much.
No doubt, and appreciate you for all the hard work and the extremely fun event and outstanding Mullet Open. Had a great time.
Was it hot?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's always can't get away from that, can you?
I'm golfing in July at 3 or 4 in the afternoon. Sure. Oh. Sure it was hot. But it was a heck of a lot of fun. Some Bud Lights and a lot of water. A lot of water and a lot
of
Bud Light.
Lots of water, yes.
And
lots of Gatorade, Bud Lights, and water.
Oh, but you put me on a great team. Colonel Craig Flowers, Woody Englander, and his father, Lonnie. And Woody played golf at Texas back in the day.
Yeah.
The Brandel Chamblee group back in the early 80s. And
How'd Dad do? Out there.
Oh, Lonnie's just the nicest guy in the world.
He's incredible, isn't he?
195 yards right down the middle every time. You know, just right down the middle.
Wait a minute. That dude's like 80. He's still hitting at 190. What are you talking about?
I bet he hit it up at 180, 185.
Oh.
With his driver? No, we had such a good time.
That dude carries his bag during regular golf.
Oh, yeah. He lives up in Waco. He's a Waco Longhorn, as he calls himself. Ian Woody.
Well, so it was.
We had a great, great time and got to see a lot of the listeners and
tons
learn
of listeners
a lot
here.
About the Refuge Ranch. And
Tony did a great job. Tony McKinley from the Refuge Ranch. Her story was not fascinating, but it's a story that
like eye opening and
very much so. It hits close to
important.
Home. When you say close to home, it's just around the corner of where you live right now. So we got to try to stop it. Try to find a way to. You can't cure it all, but you can help those that really, really can use the help right now. So we did a lot of good things. We opened up a lot of eyes, and there's a lot of people that are now going to get involved. I mean, my friends, the Mullets themselves, they want to know what they can do. I said, we'll slow down a little bit. They have to build a place. It's being built and probably won't open until October, between October and December, and then we really will get involved in some things. So other than that, we got a lot of awareness out there, a lot of individual checks, and our own boss right here, threw down first on Wednesday.
Jason Sewer,
big check, and others.
Well, I think once you hear the story that there are almost 80,000 young girls in the state of Texas alone, sex
50
trafficked,
beds.
And they need, sex trafficking. It's a hard conversation, but it's an important conversation from all sides of it. And so, the first of many conversations had
absolutely
leading up to this event. And it was a heck of a lot of fun. So good to see everybody out there that made it out.
You know who I saw, as a matter of fact? Meet me at Sunset Guy for a beer. Guy
was
there
for
you.
Yeah, I saw him too.
How about that?
As he was leaving, the guy that I lost a bet to him, he's been saying, I got to get him some Bud Lights and watch the sunset with him. I think it was a Peyton Manning Denver Broncos related bet. And I haven't paid that back yet. He wants I go have a bucket of Bud Lights and
he
watch
was there.
The sunset.
He came there primarily to see you
and
just
this,
to hang out.
I know, but he didn't play in the golf.
No, he was there just hanging out.
All right, so we had a great time. We'll tell some stories and some tales. Hope you had a great weekend. On Mondays, we do the good, the bad, and the ugly from the busy weekend that was. And what was good, what was bad, what was just downright terrible, including Lonzo Ball's debut in the Summer League for the L.A. Lakers. Get your details there. Got some NBA. We got a Texas trade in the NBA. Got plenty of baseball. We've got 1 week out to the Big 12 Football Media Days, which we will be live in Big D Dallas next Monday, Mr. Godbolt.
Yep.
You and I from the Star Complex in Frisco. 2 days of Big 12 football conversation. Today, though, they open up 4 days of SEC football conversation, the SEC Media Days, the always fun event in Hoover, Alabama. They are out in front of it starting today. So we'll talk some college football, what's going on in the Southeastern Conference, where does it rank overall as a conference coming into the year. So we've got plenty to do on a Monday. But let's start each hour, or this hour, like we do each hour, with the news. Headlines from the Ticket City Update Desk. Start with Major League Baseball. Houston Astros just absolutely pound their way into the All-Star break. 19-1, a destruction of Toronto yesterday. They split that four-game series in Toronto 2-2, but they certainly emphatically won the clincher. Carlos Correa homer twice, drove in five. Yuli Gurriel, Evan Gattis also went long, as did Jose Altuve, who had three hits for the fifth consecutive game, becoming just the ninth player to do so, more than a century. He's the first since George Brett. Had six games in a row with three hits or more in 1976. Obviously, when Altuve comes out of the All-Star break, he can try to tie that record. Astros, meanwhile, as a team, become just the fifth team in the last 40 years to reach 60 wins before the All-Star game. Six Astros headed to Miami for tomorrow night's All-Star game. In the American League, of course, Altuve, Correa, and George Springer will all be in the starting lineup. Pitchers Dallas Keuchel, Lance McCullers, and Chris Davinsky also taking their talents to South Beach. Rangers finished the first half with a loss, but that broke a three-game winning streak. They were playing pretty well. Got shut out yesterday by J.C. Ramirez and the Angels, 3-0. That loss broke that streak. They took two out of three in the series. They enter the break at two games under 500, 16.5 back of first place. Houston, Yu Darvish, the lone representative for the Rangers, headed to the Midsummer Classic. Home Run Derby tonight. By the way, in Miami, the highlight, Giancarlo Stanton will be the defending champ on his home field. Aaron Judge hit his 30th home run over the weekend for the Yankees. He'll be a prime challenger there in the home run contest. Del Diamond, Preston Beck broke a 4-4 tie with a three-run homer. Round Rock heads into the All-Star break with an 8-4 win. They beat Colorado Springs yesterday. Drew Strubbs, the former Longhorn, Jared Hoying, and Ryan Rua also had big flies at Del Diamond. Express will be off till Thursday as well. They open a series in Memphis on Thursday. As we mentioned, college football, Big 12 Football Media Day is 1 week out today in Hoover, Alabama. It's the first day of SEC Media Day. We'll talk plenty of college football. And that's the news from your Ticket City Update Desk.
And the spotlight will be on Kevin Sumlin, probably. A lot of the Media Day at the SEC and the fact that he has to win or he'll be fired this year. There won't be any ifs, ands, or buts. If he comes up with a mediocre season, they're probably going to have a new coach at Texas A&M.
Well, I think that's pretty point of fact. I don't think there's much doubt about that's absolutely the situation for him. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of interesting subplots in the SEC. I mean, it's Alabama. We know that Alabama will probably be preseason number one or two for everybody. You know, we'll put together our Horn Top 25, which will begin to roll out on July 31st here on throughout the radio station. But Alabama is still number one. They've got Jalen Hurts. They've got Nick Saban. They've got maybe the more running back depth than any team in the country. But who's next? In the SEC, you've had the ACC win the last couple Heisman trophies. They've, ACC, the Big Ten have kind of stepped forward. Clemson certainly pushing that effort with Florida State. Big Ten with Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State in the mix. Who's number two in the SEC?
Yeah, there should be a resurgence in teams like Georgia with their coach being in his second year now, too.
There's so much uncertainty.
You'd expect them to get good.
I mean, if you ask even people who follow the SEC closely, say, who's the second-best team? Well, you'll get a lot of head-scratching. I mean, most will say probably Auburn. Auburn with Jared Stidham, the Baylor transfer. He'll be their starting quarterback. Gus Malzahn, because you just don't see a lot of stability at the quarterback position in that conference. Last year, all 13 other teams had four or more losses. So
yeah, and by the way, I'm sorry. Kevin Sumlin won't be the only hot one on the seat. Tennessee's coach,
Butch Jones,
will be on the hot seat again,
sure.
Too.
No doubt. I mean, it's... No, I think there's a lot of interesting conversations to be had there, but I mean, I think the biggest pressing question is there anybody else in Alabama outside of Alabama that can be an elite team, a top end team, a team that's challenging for big things?
Well, I definitely don't see anybody beating Alabama.
Well, right, and is it Alabama and the 13 Dwarfs where, you know, parity reigns throughout the rest of the conference, and who steps forward? Is it Texas A&M and Kevin Sumlin in year six with Nick Starkel, most likely their starting quarterback? Is it Auburn with Jarrett Stidham? Is it, as you mentioned, Georgia with former Nick Saban, the defensive coordinator Kirby Smart, Florida with Jim McElwain, Tennessee with Butch Jones, always kind of on the mix there. I think there's a lot to talk about. It's fun.
Sure, it should be fun. Yeah, Florida would probably be the next team behind them right now.
You think so?
We'll have an opportunity because of the quarterback situation. So,
well, Malik Zaire.
Yeah, and they've got defense. We know Florida will have defense. They'll have athletes on defense that can run and do everything they have to do defensively. It's about their offense, and do they have a quarterback that can not only run the ball but can pass the ball. If Malik Zaire can get the ball in the air and get it to some receivers, they'll be decent because we know they'll be good on defense. Other than that, I really don't see anybody else.
Well, yeah, Malik Zaire, who, of course, Texas was hot to trot for, the graduate transfer, he'll be the quarterback in Gainesville for Jim McElwain, but he's learning a new system pretty quickly.
Sure.
And, I would guess Auburn as the second-best team, but that's just, you know, it's mostly guessing and dart throwing at that point in the SEC. But I think it goes to the overall conversation of, you know, sure they churn guys out into the NFL, sure there's a lot of talent, but where do they stand big picture? Because the SEC was the dominant conference for so long as the Big Ten, the ACC.
This could be their third year as that team that's really not the dominant conference, I believe.
Yeah, so, well, last year was the Big Ten.
Yes, for sure.
And the ACC won the national championship with Clemson ending that Alabama win streak. And, Clemson comes into the season with Dabo Swinney as the national champs, but they lose a ton. You know, obviously, we'll talk SEC.
But they had a great recruiting year. They've had two or three great recruiting years behind
that. The team in the ACC that everybody will be talking about is Florida State.
Right.
Florida State is probably the team to beat in that conference, and for some, in the country, with what Florida State brings back. So a lot of football talk. As we mentioned, 1 week from today, we'll be live up in Dallas for Big 12 Football Media Days. We'll get you the schedule and run down there 4 days, and they stretch this thing out for the course of the week. And it's very smart, by the way, on the side of the SEC, because this is one of the slowest weeks, if not the slowest week on the sports calendar.
It is.
It's All-Star Week. There's no Major League Baseball outside of the All-Star Game and the Home Run Derby. The Ticket City update desk will be pretty empty for most of this week.
I find myself watching tennis on Saturday morning.
Yeah, Wimbledon's going on, man. Yeah, outside of watching the Astros bash people and you know your Yankees and some Major League Baseball and tennis, there's not much happening.
No,
but that's smart of the SEC to get ahead of it. They're gonna have 4 days, most likely, is the lead story on SportsCenter outside of baseball, because that's smart to put it in this.
Once again, we're at football season. Football season is here now. I mean, we start the conference stuff and we're individual players and coaches on hot seats. It's here. Tom Herman, the bully pulpit guy, he's ready to go. He's ready to lay one down here next week. Can't wait to talk to him next Monday. When will we talk to him, as a matter of fact?
Tom will be Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Tom's Tuesday. The Longhorn contingent is Tuesday. Obviously, Oklahoma will be the highlight of day one with Lincoln Riley, and you get to make your week, your annual, goo-goo eyes at Cliff Kingsbury.
I may bring a suit myself. I may want to throw it right back at him with one of my fine suits.
Your man Cliff?
Yes, I may go to my haberdasher, get some stuff made up, and get ready for him when he comes down.
You have a haberdasher?
Yes, maybe come through there and...
BK, you have a haberdasher?
I don't even know what that is, dude.
Yeah, what is a haberdasher?
It's a guy who makes your clothes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know that.
A haberdasher?
Yeah, I go to my haberdashery.
He makes your clothes.
Yes,
Javier?
Get my stuff. No, Javier doesn't make clothes. He does gardening and stuff like that.
Builds like brick walls.
Yeah, man. So I'm ready. I'm ready for Cliff.
Well, good.
I got to say, hey, is the heat on, Cliff? No matter what the heat is, Cliff, you never sweat and you smell fantastic.
You won't be sweating when you ask him that question.
No doubt about it.
No, I think you're right about that.
Because he's got their money in his pocket.
Texas will be the highlight of Tuesday, and Tom Herman, and as you weren't with us on Friday when we talked about it, you were running around getting ready for the Mullet Open, but Tom Herman is not officially taking Malik Jefferson, which I know has raised a lot of eyebrows. There's already been a couple national columns about it, just mentions of, why would a guy who... If you go to mock drafts all over the NFL, they've already penciled in Malik Jefferson as a guy who's going in the top 10 or 15 of the NFL draft as a pass rusher. He's on preseason All-America list.
They make mistakes, too.
Oh, sure they do. But it just seems like a disconnect that there's this much hype about a player who, he's one of the most hyped recruits that Charlie Strong landed. Had a great freshman year. Here he is as a junior with a lot of talk about the season and what the expectation is of him, and he won't be in Dallas next week.
That dude was one of the most highly hyped guys that has ever come to Texas, really.
Oh, no question.
When he first got here. Probably I thought this was the guy.
He's one of the top-ranked recruits ever coming out of it. Yes. Mesquite Poteet. And where would Malik Jefferson go? And he's, look, it's not like Texas is, he was on the cover of their their ticket program last year.
Yes.
I mean, he's been the face of their social media campaigns. But there is a disconnect there that there's so much hype around him.
And it seems more than just a mind game to me.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I don't know what Tom Herman has said he needs to get stronger in his lower body. He needs to have a great off season. He needs to buy in and learn as much as he can from Todd Orlando. And maybe he will go have a heck of a season. All I'm saying is it's just odd to have someone who has been really the vocal leader of your program. He's the guy, he's kind of the Pied Piper.
Tom Herman's going to make him prove that he's a good football player. He's not going by the hype and going by what the pro says. He's going by what he's seen in a very short period of time. And by now, Tom Herman has looked at film on Malik Jefferson and said, "Gee-miny, wait a minute, this guy Nashawn is not physical
Hughes,
enough."
Nashawn Hughes and P.J. Locke will be the defensive players representing Texas next Tuesday. But look, CBS Sports recently projected Malik to be the 9th pick by the Detroit Lions in the draft. Mel Kiper has him listed as the 17th best prospect in the country. And again, WalterFootball.com has him going with the 26th pick in the draft. I mean, point of that is they could all be wrong, and he maybe isn't that good. But the point is the national perception, and at some level the perception Texas has pushed out with their social media is that he's one of the best players in the country, and he's not going to Dallas, which, again, we'll ask Tom Herman about that. I'm sure he'll get asked about it by everybody on Radio Row next week.
And he's going to say, Malik. I don't know what you're talking about. I bring my best players.
Yeah.
We've heard it before.
The hype would say he's one of your best players.
That's the hype, but that's the coach.
The coach
who watches him.
I'm a little bit concerned if Nashawn Hughes is one of the best four players on Texas. I mean, based off what we've seen out of him. I understand he's the only senior there. Maybe that's a big part of it.
And one of the other things is, Tom Herman could still be playing that game with Malik saying, okay, you got to be hungry because I'd be mad. I would, as a football player, I would be mad. And Malik Jefferson should be mad anyway.
Well, mad or focused because the other thing about Malik, having talked to him, he's a great interview. He's a great guy. I mean, that's a guy you want on Radio Row talking to the national media. That's a guy that says the things you wanted to say typically. Now, look, as BK mentioned, Nashawn Hughes is a senior, so there's a reward there for a guy. And obviously, Tom is taking the guys who were the biggest, the best leaders, and the guys who
for what he saw,
from what he's seen, right, with his own eyes. And that's what it's about. P.J. Locke, obviously, we've talked a lot about him. The punter, Michael Dixon, will go. Which, he's an Aussie, so he'll be an interesting guy to converse with. And so no Shane Bouchel, no Malik Jefferson. Connor Williams, obviously, will be the featured attraction. He's a preseason All-America. He's a guy who, if he has a great junior year, could be off to the NFL and getting a lot of hype as well. But, think about that for Malik Jefferson. If he has a great junior year and has gone to the NFL, it's odd to have a player of that caliber never make a trip to Big 12 Media Day.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. That could be... But he's got to go have a great season with Todd Orlando and that defense. And if he does, if Malik Jefferson plays like the hype says he will, Texas should be pretty good on defense.
Yeah, if he has a good season, not a great season, maybe he'll come back for another one.
Sure. Well, yeah, that's all. This is the silly season of the summer where we talk about what ifs and who does this and where do we – it's all projection, and it's just fun to fill up the July months and into August. But this is a fact that he's not going, and you would have thought. I think a lot of fans would have anticipated Shane Bouchel and Malik Jefferson to be making the trip to Dallas next week, and they're not.
Well, two things he's got: he's got a quarterback competition he wants to keep alive and well because you only have two players, and he's got a linebacker competition that he still has to keep alive and well because he's not happy with any of his linebackers. I mean, nobody stands out for him, so I guess you don't bring any of them, huh?
Well, then those are the guys that stood out to Tom Herman, at least. And again, he'll be asked this, but these are the guys that he wants representing his program for the first time in his first trip to Dallas. So SEC Media Day start today, Big 12 next Monday. College football on the brain for sure, and we'll take your thoughts on a good, the bad, and the ugly Monday. This says Haberdasher, guys, is a hat guy.
I know he's a hat guy. He's also a clothing guy.
Haberdasher, man.
Haberdasher. Put your hats on. I have many hats, too, by the way.
You wear a lot of hats.
I have a haberdasher. Down on Congress, so yes, I know what a haberdasher is.
Like there is one right there by Home Slice.
That's it. That's right. It's my place.
There is a haberdasher there in there.
Yes, there is.
This is, guys, the only thing Herman can judge players by so far is effort in practice, weight rooms, leadership.
True.
That's true.
Yeah, and that's what he's seizing.
He still hasn't watched any film, right? I mean, that's still his bit that he hasn't watched any.
That's what he says. He says, obviously, his assistant coaches have watched a ton of film. He wants their production on the practice field in the weight room, film room, to speak for itself.
Yeah, and I probably want to keep Malik Jefferson going. I want him just hungry and mean and mad. And the same with the quarterback. What are you going to do? You can bring Shane Buechele there. Hopefully Shane Buechele is going to be around for a while. You know, it's not like he's leaving after this year. Even if he has a great year, he's not going anywhere, so why bring him?
Yeah, my thought on Buechele is, you know, Tom Herman's still trying to play the card that he hasn't decided on a starting quarterback
yet. Of course, he's got to do that.
That's right, so if you bring Buechele, then it's clear that you made a decision on your starting
quarterback. Absolutely.
I don't think he's ready for that.
Yes.
Well, come on.
Well, hey, Oklahoma.
There's one thing I can say with pretty much certainty, Shane Buechele is going to be the starting quarterback
yes,
for Texas when the season begins.
Well, if
begins.
You thought that last year, of course you're going to think it this
yeah,
year.
Come on. I was the guy arguing that last year in July.
Well, the other thing we will know, one team, the University of Oklahoma, may bring all linemen and their quarterback and nobody else.
Yeah, Baker's coming. Yep. They've got two offense, two defense.
They've got great offensive line coming
they
back.
They do. Well, the big left tackle, Orlando Brown, is coming with them.
Do you guys remember how bad this offensive line was a couple years ago when Texas and Charlie Strong went up there and put it on that offensive line with the defense? Now these guys are all mature juniors and seniors, E, and looking awesome right now.
Absolutely.
That's going to be the bread and butter of Oklahoma this year. It'll be interesting to see who Baker Mayfield is going to throw when that time comes next week. That'll be interesting for me.
We'll get you the full rundown of SEC Media Days and take your thoughts. Who is the best team outside of Alabama? Interesting storylines within the Southeastern Conference. Obviously, make or break year for Kevin Sumlin. We'll talk plenty of college football today. Also, this one from the NBA. James Harden got paid over the week. I don't know if you saw that, Buck. He already is on a nice contract. They extended his contract through the 2022-23 season. James Harden, $228 million extension.
Why don't you just buy your own strip club?
$228 million extension.
Use your basement as a strip club of your mansion. Use the basement as your own club and have just selected people come, and you never have to leave the house. You know?
Yeah.
Leave the house. Don't go anywhere. Just go downstairs to the basement.
Was he going to get HEB baggers and throw them down there?
That dude, who cares?
Oh, he is. He's getting paid.
He wants to run as quick as he can away from the real battle, for sure.
Rocket fans look at it and say, wait a second. I saw game six with the Spurs. Where was he? Did he show up? Was he there? Didn't take a shot in the first quarter?
No.
Well, this is the guy you want to build around? I mean, you have to. I get it. I mean, there's a pragmatic answer. He's one of the best players in the game, but he's not LeBron James.
Yeah, Chris Paul's going to see that and say, man, I'm never leaving Houston. There's some cash here.
Well, he got paid, too. He's getting that one of those mega max deals.
Good grief.
I mean, the Rockets are going to have two guys making over maybe $400-plus million.
And they still won't be able to beat the Spurs.
No.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Spurs won't do a thing on the offseason, and the Rockets still won't be able to beat the Spurs.
Rockets are angling for Carmelo if he gets bought out by the Knickerbockers. Carmelo.
Oh, you're talking about dysfunction junction,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, I mean,
I want this to happen. Don't you want it to happen?
In the world competition, the Team USA, so they know each other. I want to see it. It'd be fun to watch. That's a team, unlike the Golden State Warriors last year when they added Kevin Durant. I was like, oh, yeah, that's going to be a great fit.
And I know we got a break, but somebody tell me how Malik Jefferson is getting all this top billing as a fifth, sixth, seventh pick of the NFL draft. I mean, where is it that numbers and watching the film shows you that this guy is an unbelievable linebacker that can run through? I mean, can you imagine that he's having difficulty in college? Can you imagine if a NFL sixth, seventh year pro gets on him as a guard or a tackle, gets a hold of him?
I don't think he's going to play middle linebacker in the NFL. I think he's going to be Von Miller in the NFL. I mean, he's going to come off the edge. I mean, that's going to be his role. 3-4 outside linebacker, almost certainly.
Oh, he better start doing some leg lifts, because they'll lift him off the ground and body slam.
Well, we know drafts are about potential, and you can't coach his quick twitch. You can't coach his speed, but he's got to get coached up and get better. But yeah, I mean, Todd McShay, it says right here, had him going sixth overall in the mock draft. And again, he's not going to Dallas. So we'll talk college football. We'll talk the good, the bad, and the ugly. Your thoughts on James Harden's contract. Lonzo Ball's debut. This should be fun. LeVar had some interesting comments as usual. And yes, the Houston Astros making some history over the weekend. 60 wins before the All-Star break. They and the LA Dodgers both with 60 wins before the break. Couple of powerhouses in the American and National League. We'll talk about that. The good, the bad, and the ugly on a Monday. The Buck is back. Got a busy week ahead of us. 10 July. Hope you're having a great 100 degrees. Just as hot as it can be. Hydrate yourself. 104.9 AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
B&E.
Oh, man, we got a lot today. Who says it's the dog days? There's all kinds of great stories, which we'll dive into. From all fields, including some salacious Tiger Woods news. Yeah, a little salacious Tiger Woods. which we'll get to later on. Also, your chance to win a copy of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine. Over the course of the next 3 weeks or so, we're going to be giving away about 100 of these bad boys with Tom Herman, the mastermind, it says on the cover. And your chance to pick up a free one coming up, your first chance on this show, will be in our Coach's Corner coming up at 7:15 this morning to give away a free copy of Dave Campbell's Texas Football. It is, you know, along with Phil Steele's college football preview, it's kind of like the Bible. He's I've been thumbing through mine last several days in some downtime. It's always great to launch your football season, so we'll give those away on this show, on Trey and BK in the middays, Chad and Kevin in the afternoon, and excited about that. Also, Buck, we've got the good, the bad, and the ugly from a busy weekend, and I'll mention this. The good, certainly there's plenty of it. Houston Astros, what can you say? 19-1 yesterday. They're bashing their way into the All-Star break. 60 wins, 60-29. They're 16.5 clear, setting records with what they're doing. How about Jose Altuve on the good side? He's had three hits or more, Buck, in five consecutive games. No one's done that since George Brett in 1976. He heads into the All-Star break batting .347, which puts him atop the American League. Ridiculous right now, on his way to potentially another batting title for little Petey Altuve, as we glossed him a couple of years ago. And you guys laughed at me when I said he's the Hispanic Pete Rose.
Well, he's got the numbers. The numbers are going to prove it anyway here if he stays healthy enough.
No, he
but he's a little guy. You know, He's a tiny guy, I'm telling you.
He is a hit machine, though. Bat the ball.
He's ridiculous. Been healthy, though. You know, he just had some little minor bumps and bruises.
He doesn't miss many. And that's another part of that is George Springer's been healthy, too. And he's been the engine and the catalyst. And here comes Carlos Correa at 22 years old, you know, taking his spot at shortstop. He may not relinquish that American League shortstop spot in the All-Star game for a decade or so at his age and his talent level. So fun to watch.
Springer may be doing the same thing.
Yeah, well, and that's the core. But they've got great role players. They've got great chemistry. It's amazing to have three of their starting pitchers down for the whole month of June and July, and they actually extended their lead in the American League. So their farm system is deep. Their arms are deep. And here they are getting healthier coming out of the break. But, yeah, so that certainly is on the good in the good column. Bad column would be you. You're what, 17 years sober?
Yes.
17 years sober? So
yes.
Let me get the story
17
out.
In August. August will be 17. This August will be 17
so 16
years.
And change.
16 and change, yes.
And pretty good change there.
Yes.
So, you know, you did the right thing. You got yourself sober because you were having a hard time. And so here you are at the Mullet Open on Friday. You got coolers everywhere full of drinks. And it was hot.
It was hot, brother.
So what happened? Our friend Hunter Brown from Brown Distributing brought a bunch of refreshments.
He did.
And I want to appreciate Hunter because he brought a lot of Bud Light, which was good. We had a fun time.
We had the Bud Light pyramid that was there for everybody. Every team, there was 37 teams or something like that. Ridiculous. Every team, there's a par three, and at the par three for each team, closest to the pin, got a case of Bud Light to take home with them. So so Hunter got some of these, what were they called? Lime?
But, you know, Brown Distributing, they've got all kinds of different
Michelob Ultra and all those wonderful things out there.
Michelob Ultra Lime.
Yeah.
That's a very popular summer drink right now.
Yeah, Ultra Lime. I think that's what it was. And it's green. It comes in this green can.
Yeah, kind of a mint green.
So I had this huge trough of Gatorade water, wonderful water that Hunter brought out there. I love the name. I forget the name of it. I got to find the name of that. And there were all kinds of just drinks, regular drinks in there. And somebody threw in a 12-pack of that Ultra Lime in there because these guys get loose every once in a while. You know, they'll throw in the...
That wasn't supposed to be the beer cooler. That was supposed to be the non-alcoholic cooler.
Yeah. And so I reached down and I grab hold of this thing and it's green. Yeah. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm not even thinking now. Now I'm just hot and I got to have something to drink in a hurry. And I just pop it open. It doesn't make a lot of fizz sound like a regular Bud Light or anything. And I go, boom, boom. and all of a sudden, my sensor's just like, huh. That's something.
Not an energy drink.
But it brought back some memory of, oh, no. I think I know what that could possibly be. I turned around and looked at it. I'm like, oh, hell. And it just kind of went down kind of smooth. And that was it. But that's happened to me before because when I go out on a... When I go somewhere, I always ask for a tonic and lime. And you don't know how many times somebody comes back and throws gin into my tonic. And gin is hard to kind of taste at first. You know what I mean? It just tastes like tonic water.
Because I'm assuming at some point the bartender says, wait a second, tonic and lime? Are you sure he doesn't want a gin and tonic?
You can't just say.
Who wants tonic and lime?
That's exactly right. If you say that to somebody, now you have to say just tonic, no alcohol. But a lot of times you say, I just want tonic and lime. And some people will go and get you tonic and lime. But others will, for some reason, think you got to have, you know, gin and juice. You got to have the gin with your juice, and you'll take a sip out of it, and you don't taste it right away. You don't, you know, a couple sips in, or then when you get the headache going, it's like, oh, somebody just spiked one on me. So it happens every once in a while, but still right. Sober after 17 years. No big well going done. On 17 years.
At least
years.
You didn't pound that one and then 15 more. You know what I mean? That could have been.
So let me tell you something.
The wheels come off.
Let me tell you, it wasn't a sip that I took because it was hot.
Well, yeah, when it's that hot, you don't sip anything.
No.
You guzzle things.
No, and thank you to all the folks at Brown Distributing and everyone else and Rudy's Country Store and Barbecue. And, you know, that chicken came in handy at Oak Hill. I'm pretty sure. And BK was on the chicken before you
BK,
guys.
BK, how was the golden chick, man?
Oh, he never even.
You had a little tray of yourself?
I ate like 15 tenders, man.
There was no tenders.
Mashed potatoes.
I said, BK, they'll be off the course here in about two holes. I turned around and him and Lil Kev's girl were tearing it up.
How was, it was National Fried Chicken Day last week at one point, right?
Yeah.
And the golden chick brought those tenders. Those things are so good when you had a long round to go. How was the Lazy River?
Oh, it's great.
Was it?
That was a great day.
I was so chilling
with Lil Kev and his girl Kathleen. Man, we were having a great time out there.
Yeah, we had a great
time. Is Kathleen in there?
Oh,
in
yeah.
that water?
Yeah.
Woo! Oh, yeah. Yeah, she is tender now. Let me tell you.
Sweet tenderoni.
Oh, tenderoni was in that pool.
By the way, at least you weren't in that. The, because the ugly of the good, bad, and ugly here at 637 is, how about this? You know, the MLBers, the major leaguers are headed to South Beach. How about
this? Oh, goodness.
How about this in Miami? Man hospitalized Sunday after being bit by a bull shark. At Howlover Beach.
What? He got in the water?
Yeah. Well, just a dude, 20-year-old guy, 4 to 5 foot bull shark. Victim was leaving the water with other swimmers after lifeguards saw the shark and ordered an evacuation. I bit in his leg. So when you know, George Springer, Jose Altuve, all you major leaguers, don't be hanging out in the shark's house. You know what I'm saying? We don't need a shark bite to derail a World Series run, potentially. Here we go.
Because most black people can't swim, but I can swim. But I'm not going to the ocean. Because that's the shark's house, okay? The shark has the right to eat you up when you're in his house. When chickens come in my house, guess what? They get ate. When pigs come in my house, they own the plate. So when you go in the shark's house, you're going to get ate up, okay?
That's yeah. right. Just don't go in there. Just yeah. stick your feet. Don't go into the water. These... That's why they have the pool.
That's why they have the pool in the Lazy yes. River. They've got a Lazy River. BK was in. I'm just saying all my six Astros that are going there. We don't need
no shark bites.
You know, George Springer taking a bull shark hack and all of a sudden his season's over. By the way, this guy is gonna be okay. He's gonna be all right. But still he got bit by a shark.
That's so would you ever go in, would that be enough for you never to go into the ocean? If a shark bit you, like a bull shark bit you on the back of the leg, took some stitches, would you ever go back in the ocean again? Probably not, right?
Probably not.
No. I just
was in the
pool.
Ocean, and we went to Mexico.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Yeah, but
water
I was always
as clear as it could be.
It's your house, man.
So I know it's not my house.
I know. When I was in Puerto Rico, same thing. But my eyes were always looking toward, you know, not
were
for
you
one
ready
second.
To swim down when the sharks come?
I got pulled towards that water, and I wasn't digging that at the beach. So.
All right. So good, bad, and ugly on a busy, not busy. It's kind of the dog days. But there's a lot to actually get into. We'll talk plenty of college football. We've got the SEC Media Days opening today. By the way, for you Aggies, you probably already know this, but if you don't, Kevin Sumlin will be Wednesday at SEC Media Days. It's 4 days deep. Today in Hoover, Alabama, it's Arkansas's Brett Bielema. Ooh, the borderline erotic guy.
Oh, Brett he'll be funny. Bielema will you be know, there. There'll be some funny lines with him.
He'll bring his quarterback, Austin Allen, and a couple other players. How about this one? Ed Orgeron today. The new head coach at LSU, replacing the Mad Hatter.
For that dude.
Is he letting the other coaches show up, or is he blocking off
There's
SEC
a wall.
Media day?
Somebody's going to ask Ed Orgeron about the wall that he's building yes. around the state of Louisiana. Tom Herman's trying to have satellite camps, won't let him. And he's bringing that running back, Darius Geis. That's a guy to watch for, Buck, this year. He was playing behind Leonard Fournette last year, but played a lot. That dude's a beast. He'll
and I didn't
there.
Realize that Arkansas will bring back one of the Allen brothers are coming back again.
The quarterback, yeah, Austin Allen.
Huh.
Brett Bielema bringing him. And Tennessee, this will be an interesting day one. You got Brett Bielema, who's on a bit of a hot seat in Fayetteville. LSU's got a brand new coach in Ed Orgeron, but was he their first choice? Obviously, they were after Tom Herman as well. We remember that interesting week in I don't know, back and forth. And then Tennessee coach Butch Jones will be there as
He's
well.
He's got a new quarterback. He'll have to have a new quarterback, correct?
Yeah, and he you know, his quarterback was Bear Weil. And,
yes.
You know, played a lot of football for him there. So, yeah, Tennessee gets going. Tomorrow it's Georgia, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and Florida. Aggies, along with Alabama, Missouri, Kentucky on Wednesday.
Think about this, though. For Georgia, they bring back a guy that's a Heisman potential at running back. I mean, is Nick Chubb back again?
Oh, yeah. Nick Chubb.
He's a Heisman candidate. Would he not be?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of really good running backs in the SEC, and there's great, you know, great defense as usual. But you know, it's a quarterback driven sport at this point for most teams outside of Alabama. Now Alabama has Jalen Hurts
coming back for more year number two. I can't believe that guy got out of this state.
Freshman.
Yes, I can believe he got out of this state.
How about this though? SEC Media Days wraps up Thursday with South Carolina with Will Muschamp and company. I'm interested in South Carolina this year with that quarterback Jake Bentley and Coach Boone. That's an interesting team to watch this year. Ole Miss will be there with Hugh Freeze. I'm sure he'll be asked a lot about the cheating that goes on at the Grove.
How do you guys do it? How do you assemble a team?
How do you cheat so well?
Yeah, really.
And then Gus Malzahn, who, if you talk to folks close to the SEC, Auburn is the team they look at and say that can be the second best team in the SEC with Jarrett Stidham.
And Gus he's on the hot seat himself.
Oh, it's the SEC. They're all on the hot side.
Thank you,
outside
Nick
of Saban. Nick Saban. And then right after that on Thursday, as they wrap up in the SEC in Hoover, Alabama, Charlotte, North Carolina, the ACC media days get going. Florida State and company, Clemson, your Boston College Eagles. So it is college football on the brain all week long, and we'll have.
I'm very interested when Clemson's what they've got coming back with their recruiting and the way it's been for the last 3 years, and they've built on the success of their program.
But they have to replace Deshaun Watson. I mean, that was the heart and soul of their team.
A lot of guys to replace.
Tons. But again, your quarterbacks, when you play at that level, I mean, Deshaun Watson, you know, help them go to back-to-back championship. He's their Vince Young. I mean, that's a hard thing to replace for Dabo Swinney. So plenty of college football conversation today and all week long. Excited to do that. And starting tomorrow, we'll get to hear some audio from some of these coaches and what they're thinking. And it's always good to hear from Brett Bielema and then the gravelly-voiced Ed Orgeron today in Hoover. Butch
Governor,
Jones.
Governor Ed.
Remember when Phil Fulmer came and had to like have armed security guards? Because they were really fearful that somebody was going to gun him down. Remember, because he ratted out Alabama on a recruiting situation, and then they host this in Alabama. You know, they had to have like armed security. Like they thought some crazy Crimson Tide fan was going to take a pot shot at him.
Well, it's always interesting to me because when you go up, SEC, Nick Saban has tons of people around him when he walks down the hall. Charlie Strong for 3 years looked like an unbelievable entourage of people around him. I'm like, damn, that guy doesn't even win any games. And he did. Remember how many people were around Tom?
He's always got Charlie Texas Strong. Always sends a contingent.
I mean, it was like wild.
We'll come back, BD on the horn.
Baker.
We'll take your thoughts.
Need a recipe, man.
Cupcakes.
You didn't want to give away his secrets or something?
We will keep it going on a Monday. B&E with you. You're good, bad, and ugly from a busy weekend. What were they? We'll knock those out. We'll hit your headlines coming up. Coach's Corner giving away that Dave Campbell's Texas football copy for today. It's B&E with you on the 104.9 on AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you on a Monday. Glad you're with us. Hope you had a great weekend. Certainly was hot. Maybe a lot of you folks took the entire week last week and enjoyed the 4th of July and just kept on rolling through the rest of the week. And now just getting back to it on a Monday. If that's the case, hope you're ready to get back at it, be productive, get some work done, and hope you had a good time and some downtime. We certainly did. The Buck was out most of last week, but got the mullet open in the rearview mirrors. It feels good to have it all done. I mean, no, that's an unbelievable amount of work when folks...
6 months.
I mean, you and Jancy and the crew...
Yeah, I started that last in December, and it never stopped. So I have off now until December to get ready for 2018. A lot of different things will happen in 18. We'll move it up to 11 a.m. instead of having the mullet open at 1 o'clock there east. So we'll get a lot of people that'll stay over on Thursday and play a round of golf on Thursday, play Friday. Some will stay on Saturday. Sold over 70 rooms to this event, and a lot of people like staying out there, and it's a good price and. Wow. A good time. You're talking about a kid-friendly place. BK said, I've never seen so many kids. That place is like the second to Disneyland. When you go through the lobby there, it's like they're like rugrats.
Well, it's better than Disneyland. I mean, I've taken our kids
out there. They got a lot to do.
Well, I mean, the rooms are somewhat pricey, but it's a resort. And but when you pay for that, you get – I mean, your kids have something to do all the time. They have activities and movies while you're floating in the tube, and they've got all types of kids' activities. I mean, kids under 15 are going to absolutely love it there. At the Hyatt Lost Pines.
And by the way, if you're 15 and over, if you're a little teenager, you can meet some really...
Ooh, hey,
yeah,
hey.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, it's a little teenager's heaven there for a weekend or whatever.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, you always find that weekend love, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
she's going to be my wife later on. Not really, she's not going to be your wife. She's going back home to her boyfriend once she gets rid of you. But it was nice, it really was. And as I said, you know, we get the great room rates for that special time, and the Hyatt Lost Pines really... treats the mullet open really, really well. We'll move to 11. 11 a.m. next year for the Mullet Open. Thank you. I don't know if that helps. Some say yes, it will help.
I'll just get done earlier. It'll still be blazing hot when you're done.
But I mean, the temperature won't change.
Yeah, I like 11 because we can do the show till 10 and tee off by 11.
Absolutely.
I'm in. I'm down with that. But, yeah, it was a great event. It's a good job by you. And if you're back to work on a Monday, I appreciate you being with us here on the Horn. It's 104.9. It's AM 1260. We stream it on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. So to take your goods, your bad, and your uglies, I mean, we talked about the Astros and Major League Baseball. The SEC in the college football world will be the center of attention with the SEC Media Days. We also have, how about this from the NBA? We mentioned James Harden got a new contract extension. He'll make $228 million between now and 2022-23. Lonzo Ball, you know, the second pick in the NBA's draft?
Yeah, the next Magic Johnson?
Big Magic Johnson.
How do you do?
He's got AIDS.
No.
HIV, I think.
He played in a summer league game over the weekend. His debut for the LA Lakers summer league team had 5 points on 2 of 15 shooting. It was pretty much terrible.
Yeah, it's close to being perfectly terrible.
But then he came back in a loss to the Boston Celtics summer league team with a triple-double, 11 points, 11 rebounds, 11 assists. So there you go. The guy who's playing really well for them is Jason Tatum for the Celtics, the third pick. He's been balling out in that summer league so far, been getting it done. Also, the Dennis Smith Jr., the Mavericks pick with number one, has looked really good, really outplaying a lot of the rookies that are playing in that league. Do we have a little Lonzo, or LeVar, I should say? Get any LeVar Ball? I mean, because after this Lonzo Ball game where he was throwing up air balls and went 2 for 15, and his dad still said he's gonna be the rookie of the year.
He lost by 3 or 4 points in his first game.
The quality's not good, but he popped off as he normally does.
Yeah.
What about this on the bad side? We get BK's thoughts on this because he's a big Dallas Mavericks fan. But Mark Cuban sat down with Brendan Haywood and Justin Termine on Sirius XM for a plethora of conversations, including a conversation that Mark Cuban nixed a deal to draft the Greek Freak. The Greek Freak, BK. Yeah. Antetokounmpo, however we say his name, Giannis. This guy's one of the – he's 21 years old, He's one of the best seven-footer that can just absolutely do everything. And according to Mark Cuban, he was candid and said, our guys were like, we should take the Greek Freak. All we had was two tapes, Cuban said, about the young kid from Greece at the time. He said it was me, Donnie, putting you know what's on the table. It was all in. And Cuban turned out to nix the pick. They selected Kelly Olynyk instead, only to trade into Boston in a trade. But so, yeah, sorry, BK. Might have had one of the best young players in the game, the replacement, the heir apparent for Dirk.
It would have been nice.
That would have been nice.
Yeah, he fell.
Now you'd be able to really build around somebody then.
Seriously. Well, he fell to the 15th pick. I mean, the Mavs traded back to 16 to try to get a couple extra picks, save a little cheese. And,
so a lot of people made a mistake. It wasn't just
in
that.
I mean, no. But Mark Cuban, the Mavericks, since they won their championship, it's very easy to criticize Mark Cuban for the moves that they've made and then not been able to accomplish. And, you got to get lucky in those drafts.
Yes, you do.
And Giannis, I mean, if you had a redraft or if you had an open draft of players in the NBA right now, Giannis would be one of the first three or four players selected.
There's no doubt.
I mean, he is that good, and the upside is ridiculous, and his improvement has been unbelievable. He, Kawhi Leonard, I mean, as far as young players go, Anthony Davis, Karl Anthony Towns, those guys would all be in that conversation. But a good, bad, and ugly Monday.
It's really, really strange. I know because we're still talking NBA football almost. We're in the middle of almost getting to the middle of July, and we're still talking NBA basketball. Which tells me the NBA has some really good young players, and some even though we know there's one dominant team, we still continue to talk about it because I think the NBA, the money that they're giving out, the league seems to be alive, and there's some really good players. I don't know if they're great players, but some of these young players are really going to be superstars here soon.
Well, sure. I mean, the NBA gets credit because they've kept themselves in the news cycle.
They've done a good job.
Pretty much year-round now. That'll die down here after the month of July when football gets going, and we really won't talk about the NBA again until after football season, right? I mean, certainly on this show, but in an NBA market, you will. And if you're in Boston or you're in Cleveland, I mean, you'll be NBA all the way through. And they've done a great job of that. The overall health of the league can be debated. I mean, it's Golden State and everybody else, and everyone's chasing. There are 25 teams that go to camp in October that don't have any chance, 20 that, so but that's debatable. But they've done a good job of keeping their it on the front pages. And
did a great job this year.
Oh, sure. I mean, last year it was Kevin Durant. This year, the surprise of Chris Paul and, you know, the movement. And then next year, be crazy. You know, Spurs are clearing cap space and clear the decks. Clippers are doing the same. They're wanting to, you know, go after guys like LeBron James, who could be moving again next season.
That's true.
Russell Westbrook and Paul George. And, yeah, they're...
For a sport that we knew what the final outcome was going to be, they have really kept themselves going.
Well, but the overall, that's why I say the health of the league can be debated. I mean, Golden State's going to win the title again next year, barring something unforeseen. I mean, that's almost predetermined if they stay healthy, right?
Are we ready to say that already?
Oh, I am.
Really?
Sure. Provided you give me health, they're going to win another one. There's no one on their level. And I think they'll be better next year. They understand how to play together with Kevin Durant, and they've added some other pieces to it. But so, yeah, the excitement comes in July when the arms race happens and, you know, who's trying to chase Golden State. That's actually become more exciting than, you know, the regular season was always kind of dull until you got close to the end of the regular year and then the postseason. Now the postseason, at least this year, and I think for the next couple, is kind of ho-hum. I mean, the Warriors went 16-1. In the postseason?
Dang. Yeah, there'll be a problem beating them again.
Yeah. Lost one lousy game.
What's going to make it sad, I'm going to end up rooting for the Cleveland Cavaliers. If they get, well, guess who?
Rockets. Spurs. Come on, man.
Spurs.
We'll be back. B&E on the Horn. More on the SEC Media Days and our Coach's Corner. Give away this copy of Dave Campbell's Texas Football. Reset all your headlines, including those incredible Houston Astros. We'll get you the details. It's B&E on the Horn. 104.9 AM 1260. Stream it on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.